Good morning, church.
Scared myself there.
We're echoing too.
Okay. Is that better?
How's that?
There's an echo.
Yeah.
We're going to have to get that fixed. Yeah. That one's off. Okay. Is that better? Okay. Can everybody hear me okay?
Good day. Good deal. Good to see everybody today. Just one quick announcement before we get started. You know, we've been working on that wing of the building, painting it and getting it ready for a children's wing. If you are in need of a desk or a wooden bookcase, it is yours. All you have to do is claim it. Room 9, you can feel free to check it out after services. If you have a truck and a way to get it out of here, probably could have some help loading it. But it's free to a good home. So if you want that, talk to us after services about that. Well, of course, we want to say happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. You know, being a father is a big job. Now, I'm not a father, but I'm a son, and I know from a son's perspective, being a dad is a hard job sometimes. When asked about Father's Day, a young boy said, "Father's Day is pretty much just like Mother's Day, only we don't spend quite as much money on the gift." But Father's Day is a time to honor our dads. It's a time to let them know what they mean to us. You know, we don't honor our parents nearly enough in today's world. And if you're here this morning and your dad has passed on, it can be a painful time. But today is a great time to use the opportunity to remember the good memories you have of your dad, the things he taught you, the things you did together. And remember that and thank God for that. We're thankful for good memories, aren't we? Mark Twain said the following: "When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to 21, I was astonished at how much the old man learned in just 7 years." We can all relate to that. The older we get, the wiser our dads become in our minds, when really they were wise all along. Dads have a very important job in this world. God calls you to a very high calling. Our relationship with our earthly fathers is a model of our relationship with God, the Heavenly Father. And as one man once said, you know God loves fathers. After all, He is one. I want to read Psalm chapter 127 and 128 this morning. The psalmist writes, "Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to him. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Yes, this will be the blessing for the man who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you live to see your children's children. Peace be on Israel." These are 11 short verses, but they tell us so much about God's plan for fathers. Our first point this morning: God's plan for fathers is to follow God's blueprint. Anybody here ever followed a blueprint? Pretend that you want to build a house. Let's say I want to build a house. And now many of you have seen firsthand that would be a terrible idea for me to do, right? It's not my thing. Brian Yost and I, we couldn't do that, but two men could, right? Yeah, that's right. So let's say I decide I want to build a house. So I go to the Home Depot, and I know that I need lumber, right? Got to have cement. I don't think they sell that there, maybe in the bags. But I got to have wires, I got to have pipes, right? So let's say I gather all that stuff up, and I take it to the property, and I just start nailing boards together and start stringing up wires and put the pipes in. What am I going to have when I'm done? A mess. A ramshackle dump, right? Maybe, if I'm lucky. What did I forget to do? I forgot to plan. I forgot to create a blueprint. If you want to build a house, those of you who have built houses, you got to have a blueprint to go by, right? It shows you the design you're going after, the plans you're going to build, and the materials that you're going to need, how much of it, the footage, all that. No one in their right mind would consider building a house without a blueprint, right? You with me on that? Everyone will agree that the structure called a house is not nearly as important as a relationship called a home. And while we wouldn't think of building a house without a blueprint, sometimes we go about building homes without any thought to God's plan for it. And if we're not careful, we can end up with a mess or a ramshackle family, a relationship without God. This duty falls to the man of the household. We read in 1 Corinthians 11:3, but I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. This doesn't mean men are to be dictators or tyrants, right? It doesn't mean that men can't learn from women, because we do all the time. And sorry, guys, it doesn't mean that we get to be waited on hand and foot. It's not what this verse means. But it means that God has defined roles for his people. And he wants us to live in that design. Now, there are plenty of women out there who are the spiritual leaders of their family when maybe the men are absent or they're unwilling. And thank God for those women. Amen. And we should do all we can to support them and encourage them. God bless them. But Scripture tells us these obligations fall to the men of the house first. That's God's design. Psalm 127:1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Fathers, what plan are you following as you build your family? Do you consider God's blueprint in your homes? Are you building the home by following His direction? You know, God tells us everything we need to know to live a life to please Him, doesn't He? We should be thankful for that. Don't miss that. God doesn't hide the ball. It's not some test that comes off of a footnote hidden in a book. I hated those in college. Y'all ever had to deal with that in college or high school? That's not the way God works. He tells us everything we need to know. He gives us the blueprint. But too often, it's easy for us to get caught up in following the blueprint of this world, isn't it? If your family is meeting the world's expectations in earthly matters, that's great. Praise God for that. But that's not near as important as making sure your family excels in kingdom matters. Is a relationship with God emphasized in your home as much as doing well in school or sports? Is a relationship with God emphasized in your house as much as work is? What blueprint are we following? Who is building our homes? Is money building our homes, work, school, or is God? You know, you remember Psalm 127:1, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Let God build your house. Follow His blueprints. Follow His word. That is God's plan for fathers and mothers. His plan for all of us. And also, God's plan for fathers is to teach your family to fear the Lord. Psalm 128:1 says, blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to Him. A godly father will lead his family to fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is found all throughout Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, and it can seem scary when you think about just those words. But I believe what he means is, what Scripture means, it's a healthy respect, a reverence for God, stemming from the knowledge and wisdom of God. And this fear results in obedience to God. It's a fear of attitude that results in action. The proper fear of God comes from just catching a glimpse of who He is, His power, His greatness, His holiness. Stop and think about how great your God is. He's eternal. We can say those words, but we can't understand that, can we? It's awesome. He spoke this world, everything you experience, He spoke that into existence. That's power. That's greatness. When you think about the beauty of nature, when you go to the beach and you see the waves and you see the horizon, the ocean, when you go to the mountains and you see all the splendor up there, your God created all that. The complexity of our bodies, how they work, how they operate. He spoke that into existence. when we see His greatness and His power, and we see that the right way, we will fear Him. Fathers, what do you teach your family to fear? Jesus tells us in Matthew 10:28 to choose our fears carefully. He says, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both the soul and the body in hell." Have you heard of people becoming a Christian because they're afraid of what might happen to them if they don't? Many of us have been there. And fear of hell can be a good thing if it drives us to God. Jesus is telling us, be afraid of the one who can destroy both the soul and the body. That reverence, that respect. And when we fear God the correct way, we'll respect Him. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." You know, Solomon is a very interesting guy to study. Solomon had it all, didn't he? If you could think of somebody that had it all, that would be Solomon. There wasn't anything his heart desired that he didn't have, right? And then Clinton read for us what he writes in Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 through 14. The man had it all. And he says, "Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil." And Jesus tells us the same thing. You know, we fear so many things, don't we? We fear the future. We fear the past. We fear the right now. We talked about that in class right now. Do we live in this moment, or are we always worried about what's coming next? Do we always dwell on the past? The world teaches us to be afraid of so many things. And we talked about Satan's tools earlier this year. And fear is one of his greatest tools. But all the things we fear, at the end of the day, are meaningless. Our sole purpose is to fear God and keep His commandments. This is the way we show this reverence, this respect to Him, the one who can destroy both the body and the soul. Fathers, lead your family in a way that shows respect and fear to God. You know, back in the days of Jezebel, it was pretty frightening to be a prophet of God. Jezebel was a scary lady. She wherever and whenever she could find a prophet of God, she'd kill him. Now, there was a man named Obadiah who worked for Jezebel and her husband Ahab. And we read in 1 Kings 18:3-4. "And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now, Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For it was so, when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water." In other words, Obadiah knew that God was to be feared more than Jezebel. As dangerous as she was, as ruthless as she was, as frightening and powerful as Jezebel was, she was not to be feared more than God. Our families are taught to be afraid of so much. We fear the government. We fear bad weather. We fear illnesses. We fear for other people that we love. We're afraid of financial concerns. The list can go on and on about the things we fear. But I want to share this with you. Just think about it. When we appropriately fear God, we will fear nothing else. But if we do not fear God, then we will fear everything else. Think about that. I'm still processing that one myself, but that's deep. When we appropriately fear God, we put everything else in its proper context. Yeah, we sure have fears. We still have struggles. We still have heartaches. But we know our God is greater. We know He's more powerful. And we know we can trust Him. But when we don't fear God, when we don't have that reverence, that respect for Him, then the world and Satan is going to pick us apart at every turn. Follow God's blueprint. Fear God appropriately. And God's plan for fathers is to walk with God. God wants all of us, especially fathers, to walk with Him. Psalm 128:1 again, "Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to Him." Walking with God is important. You know, It's important for us to strive every day when we get out of bed to walk with God, to live a life that pleases Him. And it's important to God that you walk with Him. He wants Joe Richards to walk with Him. He wants Ron to walk with Him. He wants Jim to walk with Him. It's very personal. And that should fill our hearts. That should put a smile on our face that the God we talked about earlier, who spoke all this into existence, who's always been and ever will be, wants Emma Browning to walk with Him. That should make us have chill bumps. But often, we just maybe don't make the time to walk with Him. Or maybe we do our own walk. Maybe we're ashamed to walk with God. You know, that's nothing new. From the very beginning, God has always wanted a walking partner. It started out like this on day one with Adam and Eve. Genesis 3, verses 8 and 11. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" Rather than walking with God, Adam and Eve hid from God. Sometimes we think in our minds we can hide from God, but we can't. God wants all of us to walk with Him, not hide from Him. Who are you walking with today? That's a question we have to each ask ourselves. With whom am I walking today? Fathers, are you teaching your family that a walk with God is the most important walk they'll ever make? People of Scripture with whom God was said to have walked, those people were blessed. Genesis 5, 22 verses 24 says, "After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more because God took him away." I have some questions about that. I look forward to getting answered one day. But the point is, Enoch walked faithfully with God, and he was blessed. Genesis 6, 9, this is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Because Noah was faithful, he walked with God when everyone else was destroyed. Noah and his family were saved. That's a blessing, church, that comes from walking with God. And Psalm 128:1, our text today, tells us that those who fear and walk with God are blessed. Fathers who want God's blessings in their homes will walk with God. They'll walk with God as they build their home. And when you do this, your family will be faithful, fruitful, and thrive. Psalm 128:3, your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house, your children like olive shoots around your table. So how do we do this? What does it mean to walk with God? We have to study God's Word. You know, personal, private time with God's Word, spending time with God is one way we have to start. You know, we can't know what God wants for us if we don't know what He says. You can't build a godly home without knowing God's blueprints. Spending time alone with God in prayer. Talking to God about your fears and your anxieties and your struggles as you build your home. Leaning on God for understanding and listening. Boy, that's the one I mess up a lot. Listening. Because God will respond. And if you're a Christian, you have His Spirit dwelling in you. Listen to Him. Let Him lead as you build your home. Walk with God. Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 17, Paul writes, "Be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." Walking with God is a blessing. It's a privilege. But do we make the most of every opportunity to walk with Him? Paul tells us, rescue as much time from evil as you can. Walk in God's love. Show your family, your wife, your children that studying the Bible is important. Lead by example. If someone were to come to my house, the question we have to ask ourselves, if someone were to come to my house, would they see me working more than they would see me reading my Bible? Would they see me watching more TV than they would seeing me in my personal relationship with God? It's not easy. Life's tough. You got to make a living for your family. You come home tired. It's a struggle. This world drags on us. But show your family how important the commitment is that you've made to God. Walking with God is much easier when you are around people who are trying to do that same thing. You know, spending time in Christian fellowship, raising your children up in that environment is so important, because if you don't raise them in that environment, the world will raise them up in its environment. Follow God's plan for your family. This morning and all mornings, be thankful for godly parents. Be thankful this Father's Day for godly fathers. And we have so many of them in our midst this morning, and we're thankful for you. I have a wonderful, godly father. But so many of you here are father-like figures to me. You've taught me things. You've shown me things. You've led by example. You lead this church and the people you're around by example. And we need to be thankful for our godly mothers and our godly fathers that are part of this church family. Amen? Amen. Let's try that again. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Absolutely. The kids are seeing that. You know, we see, our society is so caustic right now. Downright toxic. From social media to the news to even some leaders. Our kids are seeing that. Are they seeing God's blueprint in our homes and in our church? And I'm thankful that they can see that here. Thankful that we all can. As you strive to follow God's plan for your family, remember to follow His blueprint. Teach your family to fear Him appropriately and walk with Him and let Him build your home. If you're a father this morning who has never become a Christian, you know it is never too late to become that godly father to your children, no matter your age or theirs. If you're here this morning and you want God's peace and His joy and His love in your family, even though your life may be chaotic, guess what? You can have that. That's a promise from God. It doesn't mean your life will be a bed of roses here on this earth. It doesn't mean your promised comfort. But it means you're promised the joy and the peace that can come from God alone. Claim that for your family today. Ernest Hemingway, in his book, Capital of the World, told the story of a father in Spain who had a son named Paco. Now, Paco was a very rebellious kid, and he and his father butted heads constantly. And finally, the father had it. He said, "Paco, you're out of here." And he kicked him out. And several years later, the father was very upset. His anger and his bitterness had dwindled. And he'd realized that he'd made a terrible mistake. So he searched around for Paco everywhere he knew Paco would be. He looked at all of his favorite restaurants, his favorite hangouts. He even made contact with some of Paco's friends. But he couldn't find him. So in an act of desperation, the father takes out an ad in the Madrid newspaper. And the ad says, "Paco, all is forgiven. Meet me at the newspaper office at 9 a.m. tomorrow. Love, your father." Now, Paco is a very common name in Spain. But I like Johnny. When the father showed up at 9 a.m. at the newspaper office, over 600 young men named Paco were there. And they were just there hoping and waiting to receive the forgiveness of their fathers. That is what your God has done for you. He has placed an ad, not in the newspaper, but He's placed it on the cross. And He says, "If you come to me through my Son, all is forgiven." He wants you to come to Him. He wants you to confess. He wants you to repent. He wants you to be baptized where your sins are washed away, where you come up white as snow, pure, with God's Spirit dwelling in you, that same God who will help you as you build your family and raise them up in the kingdom. Come home today to God. Come home to the God of second, third, fourth, you name it, chances, who will forgive you through His Son. If there's anyone here this morning who has a need, we want to invite you now as we stand and sing.